Here in Mark chapter 1, we read in verse number 14, "Now after that John was put in prison," that is John the Baptist, "Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.'" We've been taking a look in our consideration of the kingdom of the Lord, mentioned in the scripture as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. We've been taking a look that the kingdom does exist. We've been taking a look at different aspects of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ here in these words John Mark wrote in his gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry, the Lord says here, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." And we've taken a look at that point about the kingdom of the Lord, that it is at hand. When those that are saved and those that have entered into the kingdom by salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, as we engage the world and come near the world, different folks in the world, that is so. That is the case. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come near, is there. And with the witness and the message and different things that we've looked at, we've seen that that is the case. In Matthew chapter 13, we've been dissecting this chapter and taking a look at what it has to say. The Lord speaks much here about the kingdom. We've taken a look about the value of the kingdom earlier on in this chapter. And then last time we saw here that the Lord gave a parable. He gave this parable to a great multitude in this place. And in verse number 10, we pick it up in Matthew chapter 13. The scripture says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speakest thou unto them in parables?' He answered and said unto them," unto his disciples that inquired this of him, he says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." This was in the day of the Lord's ministry, and when great multitudes followed after him, and we talked about the multitude and all the different kinds of people that are in the multitude. The Lord's disciples are there. The folks that are curious are there. Maybe the folks in the region or the area that sees this multitude passing by as the Lord Jesus Christ is traveling, they are curious. We've got the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers, they're looking to make issue and take issue with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe even the Roman government and soldiers are there. They're inquiring and wondering about why is this great number of people all collected in this place? In the great multitude, there's many, many people. The Lord gives this parable about the different types of soil, and then the disciples ask him, said, "Why are you talking that way to the multitude?" He says to them, and indicates as we've read here, he says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now that was in the day of the Lord's ministry. We have a blessing in our day, and as it is in most households, and I know the households of the membership of the church here, we've got a lot of Bibles at home, don't we? We've got Bibles in this room, Bibles in that room, got your old Bible maybe from when you were a child, got Bibles on your phone, got the Bible on your MP3 player, got your Bible on CDs that you play in the car, that we've got access to the Bible, and in that, the blessing of having in the scripture what the Lord even told of the disciples. But there is still an aspect that's there that even though that the Lord has, with his word and with the scripture, made available all of this teaching and all of that which was told in parables and where the Lord explained it is now available to us, there is an element there that by salvation and by the Lord's blessing also of we who are his children, who he saved and put in his church, there is that blessing that the Lord opens up these mysteries unto us. And so we looked at last time about these different types of soil. We want to pick it up in verse 24 today and see these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take and receive what the Lord says, believe what he says, apply it to our lives, and not quarrel with God. We don't need to quarrel with the Lord. We need to receive him. The scripture says in John chapter 1, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Not born after the way that men or boys and girls are born, but born of God. Yeah. Listen to the word of the Lord. That's the whole theme of the scripture, is listen to what God says and believe it. Another parable in verse 24, put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, which that's what we're looking at, these are aspects of the kingdom. And understand, as we look at these aspects of the kingdom, it tells about a piece or a part of the kingdom of the Lord. No one of these parables or explanations of different aspects of the kingdom tell in total everything about the kingdom, but it tells about a facet of it. It tells about an aspect of it. The Lord says here, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your blessings upon us. And Lord, we pray now that you'd help us as we look into your word, that you'd bless us with understanding. Lord, that you'd open our understanding to the scriptures, Father, and that we might receive the help and the blessing of your scriptures that you have for us in it. Lord, for we that are saved, Lord, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you, and Lord, we might learn more about what you've done in saving our souls and blessing us with all the blessings that you've blessed us with. For those that are here and not saved, that are away from Christ, that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that they don't know that free pardon of sin through him, Father, that you might speak to them, and they might see their great need and their terrible condition before you, Father, and that you might show them Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, help and work on our midst, and Lord, just speak to us. Remove all the hindrance and all the cares of life and of the past week and things coming up in our lives. Lord, help us to lay all those things aside. Work in us that we might lay them aside. We just might focus and concentrate and worship you, concentrate upon and worship you. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here the Lord gives this other parable. He tells about a man. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. A man sows good seed in his field. He knows this seed is good. He's confident. He knows where he's got it. He knows what it's going to produce. He knows it is good seed. It's going to happen. It's going to germinate. It's going to grow up into something that he has expectation to receive when it does grow up. It's good seed. That's what the Lord says. But while men slept, okay, his enemy came, and doesn't say that he slept, it says while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. A tare, Brother Bobby could probably tell us about tares and how they look and that. I know Brother Chad's done a study taking a look at wheat and tares, and my understanding is when a tare grows up and wheat grows up, they look pretty similar. I guess they maybe even grow about the same rate, and they're all in there mixed together, and you can't tell them apart. My understanding is that you can't tell tares from wheat until the fruit comes on, and that's the way you're going to discern between them. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, okay, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And so those that work for the man, those are there that are familiar with his operation and such as that, they see that these tares have come up. It's not mature yet, but it's come to a point that it's manifested that there's tares among the wheat. And they ask him, said, well, didn't you sow good seed? Didn't you check out and qualify your seed? Our expectation is that you would sow good seed. And we've always known that you do sow good seed. Where do these tares come from? How is it that this field's got tares in it? He saith unto them, verse 28, an enemy hath done this. There's an enemy that's looking to cause harm. There's an enemy at hand that is looking to meddle in the work of this man. He's meddled in his field. He's brought this other seed. He says unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant's anxious to try to make things right. He says, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? You want us to go get the tares now? You want us to go and remedy this problem immediately? He said, no. Verse 29, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. No, it's not time. It's not time to do that. You'll root up the wheat that I intended, that I did plant, and that I had expectation of. It's not time yet. There's going to be coming a better time, a right time, to make that discernment. What's he say? He goes on and tells them, let both grow together. Listen to this verse in verse 30. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Go through the field, collect all the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. So the Lord's given this parable, and he's told about this man and this good seed that he's sown, the enemy that's come along, the servants that are there that want to try to remedy the problem. And the man says, no, let them grow up together. And when it's time, I'll tell some reapers that know the difference between wheat and tares, and I'll give them instruction, gather up the tares and burn them. But the wheat that'll be left, I want that gathered into my barn. That's been our expectation from the beginning. You know, you remember when John the Baptist came preaching, and he preached about the Savior, the Messiah, being near. And he preached and he gave a parable, if you will, telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was very near to coming on the scene. And he gave that parable about the Lord Jesus Christ saying that his fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. What's he talking about? He's talking about the threshing floor where the wheat is brought. This is very similar to that, a little bit different, but similar. Also, he says his fan is in his hand. What's that fan? Is he hot? No, he's talking about that harvest of the wheat. They would bring the wheat into the threshing floor, and they would tromp on it. They would have instruments of wood and maybe even instruments of iron that they would beat on the wheat to get the husk and the chaff beat off the grain. And then with that fan, they would take, and with that big woven fan, kind of like a basket, but flat out, as I understand it, they would wave that fan, and it would be in the springtime when there'd be some breeze, or it'd be in the fall when there would be some breeze, and that chaff would raise up, and it would blow off with the prevailing breeze, and it would land over here. They would take that fan and maybe dig into the wheat, and where they had threshed it, where they'd beat it, and they had separated it, and they would take that fan and throw it up in the air, and the wheat being more dense would fall here close, but the chaff would blow off. And what did John say? This one that's coming, that baptizeth in the Spirit and in fire, he's got his fan in his hand, and he's going to thoroughly purge his floor of the chaff. And the chaff is going to be burned. But you know what's going to happen to the wheat? The wheat's going to the garner. That's where it's stored. That's where it's put up. That's where it's gathered. And this is very similar to that. I thought that interesting here in that. There's other parables that the Lord gives here in the coming verses. But in verse number 36, let's pick it up, where the Lord gives the answer to this parable. It is even the disciples don't understand. But you know what the disciples can do? They can ask the Lord for understanding about it. You know, we can do that with the Scriptures. We that have been saved, We if we don't understand the Scriptures, we can pray to the Lord that it will help us and bless us that we would understand what He's written. We'd find the application of it. We'd find the place where it goes in our lives. We'd find the place that where it goes in our witness and our stand for the Lord. And so they ask Him about this. Verse number 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, verse number 36, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. You know what? As the Lord, the Scripture says in James chapter 1, if you want wisdom, ask of the Lord. He gives liberally. He doesn't upbraid the one that'll come to Him. But He gives wisdom liberally. And so the disciples were not fearful to ask the Lord, what's that parable mean? Tell us about it. Tell us what it means. Again, remember, aspects of the kingdom. Declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. And here, and as it says in Luke chapter 24, I want to remind you of this. And let's take a look over here at this passage real quick. Hold your place here in Matthew 13. Here after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can do this for us. He did this for the disciples. In Luke chapter 24, the Scripture says there in verse number 45, Luke writing, the beloved physician, he writes in verse number 45 of Luke 24, then opened He, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the He, their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. He's doing the same thing for His disciples right here in Matthew 13. Verse 37 of Matthew 13. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Well, He's the Son of God, right? Who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ, right? The God-man, the one sent, the one that was prophesied that would be sent. God the Son, one of the Trinity, although God is one God, but the Son came and became a man so He could be the sacrifice for sinful man, for His people. The Son of Man, He says here, is the one that's sowing the good seed. Does the Lord sow any bad seed? Never. Never. All He's got is good seed. What kind of life does the Lord Jesus Christ have? Everlasting life. Eternal life. He knows of no other life. As a man, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He died once. He did die. He died in body. He poured out His soul unto death. He died and bore His people's sins on that cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. But because He's God, He stayed dead for 3 days. But because all He knows is life, He took His life back again and lives forevermore. Will the Lord ever die again? Never. Amen. Never. He died once. And so the Lord, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one, and He only sows good seed. The field, He says in verse 38, is the world. Interesting. So all of the world is this particular field. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's what the Lord said. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sow His seed, and from that seed that He sows, His children are going to rise up. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. There's no argument with that. There's no misunderstanding of that. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Who's that? Who is the wicked one? Is it any of the Trinity? No, it's not God. God is good in every respect. But it's the children of the wicked one. The tares are the children. This is an aspect of the kingdom. He says, the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, He's the man that sowed, right? Shall send forth His angels, those that know the difference between tares and wheat, right? Remember how the man, the farmer, the householder, He said, I'll send some fellows that'll know the distinction between tares and wheat, and they'll parse it out. They'll separate it out, and those tares will be gathered and bundled to be burned. He says, those that went out are the angels. He said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, verse 41, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There in that furnace of fire there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then it goes on to say, and we've read this before, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And listen to what it says. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Do you have ears to receive it? I pray that each one in the house would. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, Brother Jim, that I thought there was more involved with that. Well, there is that of our lives, but this is an aspect of the kingdom. It's a boiling down of a principle in the kingdom. I want you to take a look in Ephesians chapter 2. Take a look over here and understand who the devil is and what he is about. Okay, just real quick here. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, speaking to the church here at Ephesus, and those of the children of God, those that the Lord had saved, and in this church in Ephesus, there in the Western Asia Minor, he says, and you hath he quickened, made alive. Not made fast, but made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And what does dead mean? Dead means dead. Went to a funeral here a couple weeks ago. And the man that was laying in the coffin was dead. His family loved him. They grieved over his passing. They wanted so much to have him back. No matter how much they cried over him, no matter how much they expressed that they loved him, no matter how much that they pleaded to have him back, he was dead, and there was no waking him up. That's the way it is with sinners. We're dead. In and of ourselves, we have no capacity, no understanding, no will or ability to even know that we've got a problem with sin.
That's right.
Till the good Word of God comes along. Amen. Till the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till the working and moving of the Spirit. And that's part of what all the church's work is about, is to fulfill that first part of the commission, to teach all nation about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinners are wicked, that sinners are guilty. We're all of the best that we've got, as Isaiah says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We need help. And we need help outside of ourselves. And it says here, in those that the Lord has saved, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the way the world naturally works, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is a prince. He's been given dominion over this earth. He has been given I believe from the scriptures and what we can gather, another scripture we're going to take a look at, Satan has been given a charge by God. Remember the five I wills of Satan. Satan said he's going to be like the Most High. He's going to sit in the sides of the north. He's going to take over from God. But Satan can't do that. He's been created of God. He's been created just like all else that's been created. The purpose that we have been created, the purpose that you have been created for, is to honor and praise and magnify and glorify your Creator. That's our purpose.
Amen.
Satan, Lucifer, was created for that same purpose, but he stood up and said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be like God. And you know what the Lord said? God cast him out of heaven to the earth and made him a prince over the earth. And of course, we understand in Genesis that he deceived Eve, and from that deception, Adam chose to go with hearken to his wife and plunged us all into sin and depravity. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, talking about that prince, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. That's the way we went. That's the way we walked. In the lust of our flesh, what this old body wants, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and what the mind wants. That's the way that it was. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want you to turn over here to Isaiah chapter 14. Satan is the prince and power of the air. All men in their sin and their depravity look the same. But there is that seed that has been sown that the Lord will bring to eternal life. Here in Isaiah chapter 14, we see these I wills of Satan. In verse number 13, it says here, verse number 12 of Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Pride. Being created to be the angel. I believe that he was the angel. That angel that was created to seemingly to me, from what I understand from the scriptures, to be there. The angel that was created at his station, his place, was to be in part of the throne of God. And in that, he sought to rise up above God. And in that sin and iniquity and pride of his heart, he went into sin and pursued after sin and was made a prince of this earth. Look what it goes on to say in this chapter. It tells about his coming damnation and what the Lord is going to do to him in bringing him to the pit, to hell. In verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Verse number 18, "All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. As the raiment of those that are slain," anybody that's ever been in a combat or war, the bloody garments of those that have been killed, it's just terrible. He said that's the way Satan, that's the way Lucifer is going to be brought to, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as they bury those carcasses, as a carcass trodden under feet. That's going to be the end of Lucifer. Verse 20, listen, "Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. Even his grave will spit him out. Because thou hast destroyed thy land." Hear that? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that before we were saved, we walked according to what the prince and the power of the air wanted. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We had a conversation like unto them before the Lord saved us. And that prince and the power of the air, when Satan rose up, to take the place and desiring to take the place of God and rise up to be like God, here's what I think happened. God said, "Okay, that's what you want." He throws him to the earth and says, "Have at it." Satan can't create anything, can he? He's not God. Only God creates. So Satan, in the omniscience of God and in the greatness of God, he threw him to the earth and he says, "Okay, you're responsible for this dirt ball. And one day I'll bring you an account of it." He's a prince. A prince has a domain and a dominion. And it says here, "Because thou hast destroyed thy land," and the wickedness, not only the depravity of man, but what has Satan ever worked on this earth that's been good? Not one thing. Not nothing. Zero. Never has worked anything good. But just iniquity and sin and wickedness against God. He says, "Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land." And what's it say? "And slain thy people." Slain thy people. The seed, what's that word seed in the Hebrew mean? It's talking about children. Child. Your children, parents, your seed are your children. My seed are my children. He says here in this scripture, he says, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. They'll never have any glory or respect or honor. The point here in this passage is, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. I don't understand all about it. But with that passage there in Isaiah, and the other passage that we took a look in Ephesians, and even other passages that we could bring into it, Satan does have a people. He does have a seed that he has sown. He's not a creator of life, but it's as if the Lord says, said unto him, okay, Satan, you want to be like God? Here, have at it. Let's see what you can do with this earth. What's the first thing he did? He deceived Eve. He drugged men down into sin. Adam went willfully, and because of that disobedience of God, God said, don't eat of that tree. There's nothing wrong with the tree. The tree wasn't poisonous. But he disobeyed God, and one simple thing, Adam disobeyed God, plunged us all into sin. And then the Lord seemingly saying to Satan, oh, you don't have a people. Okay, I'll create a people for you too. Let's see what you can do to help and redeem them. God has always purposed to have a people. The scripture bears it out. And the Lord, and back here in Matthew chapter 13, makes it clear. Let's read again in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and there's not a seed that the Lord sows that is not good. The field is the world. We understand that. The good seed are the children of the kingdom that the Lord will bring unto salvation. The tares are the children of the wicked one. They have been and always will be. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Because, see, there's going to come a time that the kingdom of the Lord, now being established and coming in more and more and more, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds for his people, and he deals with this earth for the 7 years of tribulation, and then he brings in after that the millennial reign of Christ, where the Lord's people will rule and reign with Christ, all different things that we've taken a look at. There's going to be that final time, that judgment, the great white throne judgment, where the tares are going to be brought forth by the angels, and they will be judged. It's going to be. It's going to be. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, verse 41, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. The kingdom is going to be purified, and them which do iniquity, sin is going to be cast out, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And in that furnace there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous, those that the Lord has saved, shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And the Lord ends it up with this particular parable. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been very descriptive and very explicit about this aspect of the kingdom. And he says at the end of that, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What does that cause you to do? Does that cause you to rejoice in the operation and plan and work of God? Or does that cause you to want to fuss and argue with God that he's done things this way? Well, what it should cause us to do is magnify and praise him. We got to remember, we're the created. He's the creator. Now the Lord says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know who the good seed is? I don't. Do you know who the tare seed is? I don't. And not one place has the Lord ever told us to try to have discernment about that here, has he? No, he says the angels, in the end that he sends, they'll have the discernment. So the Lord does explain about His work and His operation. And what that should cause us to do is glorify and magnify and praise His name. Because you know what? Not a one of us would be saved if the Lord hadn't sowed good seed. Amen? That's right. We are the created. He is the creator. We are the sinners. He is the Savior. And He says, receive my word. Believe and trust in me. This passage alludes to what's referred to as the doctrines of grace or the sovereignty of the Lord. The Lord Himself tells it here. He's not bashful about it because it's the truth. He tells us these things that we might know how great His work is and have confidence in Him. We are spectators, if you will, in looking on at this work of God. It causes us to know more about Him. But is there anything that we have to do in it? What we have to do in it is, as the parable said before, is sow that good seed of the Word. Amen. Not the seed of souls. That's not our... We don't know about souls. But to spread the Word of God. Are you wheat or are you tares? I don't know. The Lord doesn't even tell you to figure that out about yourself. What the Lord says, if you got ears to hear, hear it. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 9 and we'll close. Mark chapter 9. Here, a man is desperate about the healing of his child. He has tried to seek relief for his child. He has brought his child to the Lord's disciples as they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord and Peter, James, and John. And they couldn't heal this child. They could do nothing with him. And so this man, being in agony over the need of his child, the Lord sees that he's talking with his disciples, and he goes and talks to them about it. And this man brings the case of his child to him. And he tells him in verse 22 about the different things that this demon in this child causes his son to do. And the man makes a cry. In verse 22, in the latter part, he says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That parable over there that we've looked at in Matthew 13, if you're here and you're not saved, that parable should not cause you to want to quarrel with God and fuss with God about His operation and His work. But what it should cause you to do is fall out down on your knees before Him and ask Him for help. Because you know what? We all need the Lord. He doesn't need us. We need Him. Don't quarrel with God. But this man here, he didn't seek to ask why or how or the reasons why this has come upon his son, but he went to the Lord and says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you're here without Christ, that's what you need. You need help. And Jesus, it says in verse 23, said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what sinners have been commanded to do, to repent and believe the gospel. Didn't we read it over there in Mark chapter 1? The gospel, the John was put into prison, and the Lord came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and He said, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what sinners are commanded to do. Can you believe? I tell you what, I encourage you, believe. If you see you have need in this and the Lord's opened up to you that you are a sinner and you're without hope in and of yourself and that your sin stands against you and that condemnation of that sin rests upon your head, cry out to God for mercy. Because you know what? It's only by Him that you can be saved. It's only by Him that you can be healed. By His stripes, this old sinner's been healed. By His sacrifice of His soul, this old sinful soul's been given life. Can you believe? Believe. If you have ears to receive it, He hath ears to hear, let him hear.